We're going to turn to the 119th Psalm together. Psalm 119. Oftentimes, you'll hear people make a statement or ask a question. They'll say, are you happy? Are you happy with the circumstance? Are you happy in life? Are you happy with your job? Are you happy with your position? And we understand that happiness comes from happenings, and they change all the time. Our happenings are up and down. And I guess really what we should be asking is, do you have joy? Because joy is constant in our life. Joy doesn't come from our happenings. It comes from Jesus. It comes from our walk with Him. I heard the story of a woman in a grocery store happens upon a grandfather and his poorly behaved three-year-old grandson. And it's obvious that to her that Gramps has his hands full with the child screaming for candy down the candy aisle and cookies down the cookie aisle. Maybe you've experienced this. My mom used to tell me, turn your water off. But I never did. The same down the fruit aisle and so on and so forth. And meanwhile, Gramps is working his way around and saying in a very controlled voice, he's saying, easy, Albert, we won't be long, easy boy. And a few minutes later, she hears another outburst, and Gramps is calmly saying, it's okay, Albert, just a couple more minutes and we'll be out of here, hang in there, boy. And at the checkout, the little terror is throwing items out of the cart. And Gramps, again, in a very controlled voice, is saying, Albert, relax, buddy. Don't get upset. We'll be home in 5 minutes. Stay cool, Albert. Very impressed, the woman goes outside, and the grandfather is loading the groceries into the back of the car. And she says to him, she says, you know, sir, it's none of my business, but you were amazing there. I mean, I don't know how you did it, but the whole time you kept your composure, and no matter how long and disruptive the young boy got, you know, you just calmly kept saying, things are going to be okay. And she said, you know, Albert is very lucky to have you as his grandpa. And he said, well, thanks, lady, but I'm Albert and my grandson is Stephen. He was talking to himself the whole time. Calm down, Albert. It's going to be okay. Now, when we consider this thought of joy and composure within the Christian life, I think in Psalm 119, the theme of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. And it's a long psalm. But within that psalm, there's this message of joy. And there's this message of a blessed life. And to get the blessed life or that joy that the psalmist is talking about, it's really simple. It's not complicated. You don't have to read a 1,000-page book to get the answer. It's simple. And the psalmist makes it simple for us to understand that this joy comes from following God's way. From going God's way and not our own way. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we have to remember that what makes sense to us doesn't always mean it's God's pathway for our life. And I think the greatest illustration of that is the children of Israel and the Exodus. In Exodus chapter 13, and I'm not going to read the full passage, but a couple of verses here. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. It wasn't the practical way. It wasn't the easy way. But our ways are not God's ways. And I think the psalmist covers that idea. The blessed life is God's pathway and not our own pathway. God knows everything about all things. And God knows all the details of our situation. Remember that our wisdom is limited and God's wisdom is unlimited. The Bible teaches us that God's way is absolutely perfect. In every way, it's perfect. And we do well when we follow God in this pathway for our life. Now, let me give you some principles, just practical thoughts here about God's pathway. First of all, think about this. Not every open door is God ordained. Not every open door is God ordained. Just because a door opens doesn't mean God wants you to walk through that door. Opportunity does not demand obligation. Just because there's an open door doesn't mean you always should walk through that door. The devil can open a door, and it would be a bad decision for you to walk through. And so we have to seek God's way. And then we also have to remember that not every destination is God's way. The reality is our decisions dictate our direction, and our direction dictate our destination. And so we have to realize that our destination is because of the choices that we've made in our life. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, the Bible says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And here in Deuteronomy, the Bible says, therefore, choose life. You got to make a decision. You got to make a choice. Choose God's way, not your way, not the devil's way. Choose God's way. And I believe this, that a Christian who's not following God's way, a Christian that's not doing right in their life, whatever title you want to give them, whether you call them backslidden or whatever you want to call them, a Christian who's truly born again and they're not doing right, they're not following God's way, I believe this, they know it and they know where they ought to be. And that's really the message that the psalmist is giving to us. He's laying out for us this idea of a blessed life, a life that pleases the Lord, a life that makes God smile, and how we can accomplish this in our lives each and every day. So I want us to know some truths, and we're going to be picking through Psalm 119 together. But first of all, if you're taking notes, would you write this down? I want us to think about observing God's way. Observing God's way. So this is what the Bible says in Psalm 119, and in verse 129, the Bible says, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doeth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Bible says, first of all, and this really lays the foundation for all that I'm going to say from this psalm, is that God's way is wonderful. The testimonies of the Lord are wonderful. God's truth and God's pathway is wonderful. And those who live the Bible, those who not just don't go through the mere facade of living the Bible and the Christian life, but those who truly live the Bible, they all have the same testimony that the Word of God and God's pathway is the greatest choice they could ever make. That it's wonderful, it's sweet, it's a blessing. God's way is wonderfully filled, and even in those pathways of turmoil, even when God leads us to troubled waters, I mean, think about the disciples. They had their share of hardships. They had, you know, many were martyred because of the cause of Christ. And yet, the grace of God was sufficient. And we go all the way back in the Old Testament and think of Moses and Abraham and Noah and Paul and Peter and the rest of the disciples would all tell us, if they could stand before us and we have the Word of God and their message to the inspiration of the Spirit of God, but their message is all the same, that that the pathway of God is wonderful. It's a blessing to follow God's way. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 72 in verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. He only doeth wondrous things. Psalm 119 in verse 18. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You see, the psalmist believed this. And the psalmist, he proclaimed, because it is wonderful, because it is great, I will follow them, I will obey them, I will make them a part of my life. And so we see in this psalm here, this wonderful truth of observing God's way, that God's way is wonderful, but we also notice that God's word is profitable for our life. It says here in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, God's word gives us light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. God's word, as it enters our heart, it impacts our life. Because God's word is light. And light is the picture of truth. And truth, as we follow the truth of the Bible, it impacts not only this life, but the life to come. And so God's word is light, but also light reveals. What does it reveal? Well, I mean, light reveals sin in our life. Light reveals wrong priorities. Light reveals wrong directions. Light reveals our wrong thoughts. Thoughts that sometimes we have to cast down and submit to Christ. Light does this. Things look clean and ordered when we look at things through the dark. It's like me walking to my son's bedroom. And I won't tell you which son it is, but his first name starts with A and it goes something like Alan. And I look inside and the light's not on and I think, wow, he actually cleaned his room. And then I turn on the light and nope. The reality is light shows that which is ordered. Light shows that which is right. And the Bible says that the word of God is a light that we shine into our life and we see our direction, we see our priorities. And then James says, you know, when you see those things, you don't just walk away, you make changes. You make decisions that impact your tomorrow. By allowing the word of God, continuing, James says, in the word of God. The Bible says that God's word gives us wisdom and understanding. It says in verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Bible says that it gives knowledge. And the thought there of simple, it just means those who don't know. That's what the Bible, when the Bible says the simple, it just means those who don't know. It gives understanding to those who don't know. And there are many people in this world who have a simple view of life and death. They don't know. They don't know what life is all about. We call that a primary question, right? You know, where did we come from? You know, where are we going? These are primary, important questions, and they are simple in these questions. They don't know the answers, and yet it's the Bible that gives us the answers to those questions. The Bible gives understanding to those who don't know. The Bible teaches us about life and death. The Bible tells us about what we don't understand, that we are sinners by nature, and because of our sin, we will one day die, and sin has cursed the whole world, that death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned, and God created us for a purpose, and he created us on purpose. And when we live our life without God, when we take God out of the equation, our life is empty, our life is void. And Jesus died on the cross over 2,000 years ago to pay our sin debt. And those who come to Jesus can be saved. It is understanding to the simple. It helps us to understand who God is and who we are. And so we note the psalmist is observing God's way. But notice, secondly, if we could, an optimism in God's way. Not only observing God's way, but there's also an optimism in God's way. The Bible says in verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou unto me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. The Bible teaches us this wonderful pattern that as we seek to do God's word, as we seek to follow God's word, it gives us a longing for truth. And I always encourage people who say, well, I just don't feel like reading the Bible. I say, well, you know what? There's times that I don't feel like doing something, but I do it because it's right. And as you do those things, feelings follow the truth that you follow. And here the psalmist is saying, listen, I opened the Bible, I read the Bible, it's wonderful, and because it's wonderful, it has a high priority in my life, and so I kept the word of God, and now he's saying, I long for more. I long for more truth. God, teach me what I need to change. Lord, teach me what I need to put into my life. There's a longing there. You know, many long for joy, but joy is the byproduct of an obedient life. And the psalmist understood this. His desire of his heart was that God would continue to teach him and that he would continue to follow God's word for his life. The psalmist sees the importance of light, of truth in his life. You know, the average person in the world today, they don't want instruction. The average person in the world today, they will turn from truth to find somebody else that will teach them what they want to hear. That's what the Bible says. It's not my opinion, that's what the Bible says. And yet the word of God has been given to us for life and for godliness. And it's not given to us per se to make a living, but to make a life and a life for God. And so here the psalmist is desiring the word of God. There's this optimism in God's way, this desire for God to continue to direct. There's a desire for God to continue to grow his life. 2 Peter chapter 1, would you turn there? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19. I'm not sure if Brother Mara drank out of that, but at this point I'll chance it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. We'll read a couple of verses here. The scripture says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, verse 20, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You can't pull the Bible out of context to use it for your own agenda. God has a purpose, and it is one truth. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we do well if we take heed. And we notice the pattern of the psalmist in his life. A desire for truth, a call for mercy, and an obedient servant. A desire for truth, a call for God's mercy, and an obedient servant. In an article written about churches in our world today, this article lists five actions of the church that have replaced the preaching of the Word of God. According to this article, they say that there are five things that churches have done to take away the Bible preaching from churches. The first they call is entertaining, and they call that the Hollywood method. Our world today loves to be entertained. And if the purpose of a church is to fill the pews, then why not entertain people, right? It sounds logical. And so the Hollywood method is to entertain people. Get rid of the Bible. Don't preach the Word of God. It makes people uncomfortable. I mean, nobody wants to be told they're living a wrong life. Nobody wants to be told or rebuked in their life. And so let's take away the Bible and let's just entertain. Then there's the sharing method. They call it the talk show method. Let's just have a chat. Let's not confront people with their life and use the Bible, but let's just have a conversation. What do you think the Bible means? This is what I think it means. Truth, you know, after all, it's relative, right? It's different for different people. No, truth is absolute. God wrote what he meant, and he meant what he wrote. And then there's the wooing. They call it the politician method. We just got to get someone who knows what to say, who can woo the audience. And then they call the intellectual or the Gnostic method. That's making ourselves look smart and intellectual, preaching on topics and not the Bible. Finding out what people want to talk about and making that a priority in the message, because topics draw people in. And then there's the abbreviating or the convenient method. After all, people are really busy today. And so let's not take a long time giving the Word of God. Let's just give them a little tidbit of truth, just a little devotional. We don't want to spend that much time on the Bible. The Bible says in James 1:22, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholding himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man," look at this, "shall be blessed in his deed." I want us to think about the order in God's way. The order in God's way. The psalmist is looking at an optimism in God's way. And he gives us the order in God's way. The order in God's way is that God would order our steps by his word. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 133. "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." You know the old saying, you probably heard it. The saying is, this book will keep you from sin, or finish it with me, or sin will... Yeah. And this is what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, "Lord, order my steps, and don't let sin dominate my life's decision. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And this is the heart's desire of the psalmist. "Lord, I want to align my life with the word of God. Order my steps in your truth. And don't let sin hinder me from following your word." Because this book will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from this book. And we're talking about selfishness and bitterness and all the other sins that captivate our hearts. Because sin can dominate. It controls. It dictates. It leads us from God's pathway. And when we begin to get off course, we begin to rationalize those decisions in our mind. We begin to compare with other Christians. Because as we head down the pathway of lust and not love, as we head down the pathway of bitterness and not betterness, and as we head down the pathway of resentment and not rest, the devil will use this against us to plant those seeds deep in our hearts. And if he can keep us from hearing the Bible and reading the Bible and obeying the Bible, then he's happy about that. And he likes that. The devil has a pathway that he paints in bright lights, and he screams for us to follow his pathway, and yet he pays out in destruction and in hurt. In 1939, just before the outbreak of World War II, Germany and Russia signed a pact. This treaty promised that neither nation will attack the other. And it laid out a plan for how they would divide the nations of Eastern Europe between them. Yet in 1941, without any warning or incitement, Adolf Hitler sent his tanks across the Russian border in a sneak attack. Hitler had no interest in keeping his word. The treaty was meant only as a temporary measure until he could do what he wanted to do. And I say to you, and I beg of you, don't listen to the lies of the devil, because he's a liar. Don't let sin keep you from the Bible. Don't let sin keep you from following God's pathway. Don't let sin keep you from the house of God. Don't let sin keep you from the Word of God. Don't let sin dominate the decisions you make in your life. But also the psalmist says here to not let people dominate life's decisions. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 134, the psalmist said, "Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts." We talk about the oppression of man in our text here. We talk about man's cruelty and deception. And with the focus of the deception of humanity. And there are probably people here tonight that are on a certain pathway because of someone else. They may have been taught by a person or led by a person. And remember that anytime the Bible talks about following a man, the prerequisite is always that they are first following the Lord. You know, Paul said, "Follow me," or "be followers of me as I follow Christ. Let me be an example to you as a Christ follower." But the moment I stop following Jesus is the moment you stop following me. And yet we allow the fear of man, we allow the influence or deception of man to keep us from following what God would have us to do. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You may be on a pathway in your life that has been dominated by the deception of an individual. Maybe you were a part of a religious group and you were being deceived to think that you had to do something to earn salvation. The Bible teaches us, let God be true and every man a liar. You know, and oftentimes people will come to me and say, "Oh, you're a Baptist, you believe this." And I don't believe this because I'm a Baptist. I believe it because it's what the Bible says. It's what God says. And if you can show me it differently, I will change tonight, because the Bible always wins. And the psalmist understood that. And he's observing God's way. He has optimism in God's way. But I want us to notice thirdly, and I'll be done, the opportunity in God's way. He says in verse 135, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law." This is indeed the joyful heart. It's following God's pathway that brings this great peace into our life. following God's pathway places us on his perfect pathway for our life. The Bible says the steps of a good man, say it with me, are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord. And the psalmist, he begins by saying, I want God's favor upon my life. I want God's favor upon my life. And throughout the Bible, you'll notice this expression, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. And it's a common expression. I'll give you some thoughts here, some verses. Psalm 31:16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Psalm 67:1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. In Psalm 80:3, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. In Psalm 80:7, turn us again, O Lord of hosts, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And then again in Psalm 80:19, turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, that we shall be saved. In Psalm 80, the context of that psalm is God's people, they have sinned against God, and they were exiled from their land, and they had returned to their land, and the psalmist was crying out for God to give his favor upon their life again. And that's what that expression means, by the way, to make thy face to shine upon thy servant. It's really a cry for God's favor in our life. And this is what the psalmist wants. He wants God's favor. He wants God's blessing. Here, I'm going to give you a hack for the Christian life. God always blesses his word. So align your life with the word of God. The Bible teaches us in Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The favor of God is upon those who hold in high esteem his word. God's word will not return void unto them. Let me give you this thought. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's the word of God. I heard the story of a candidate who asked a farmer. He says, how did you like my speech on agriculture, the agricultural problem? And the farmer said, well, it wasn't bad, but a good rain would do more. And we can read all of the books, and we can go through all of the seminars, but nothing can replace God's shining face on our life. And that's only accomplished when we hold high esteem his word. Our desire, and this is my last thought, our desire is for others to follow God's word. The characteristic of a Christian who is following God's pathway is the characteristic of a Christian who wants other people to follow God's pathway. The Bible says in Psalm 119:135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. The psalmist had a desire to know God and to follow God's word. He made it a high priority in his life, and it broke his heart. There were others that were not, that could care less about the Bible. So where are you today? Is there areas in your life where you know that you're not following the Lord? What has dominance in your life today? Are you living your life according to the Bible? What is driving you? What is driving you? God, help us today to live our life like the prophet Jeremiah, who said in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." And turn again to the Lord. Because as we make the Bible a priority for our life, we find that it means more to us. And we desire it and want to know more. And it controls and helps and directs us. And it gives us a love for the Bible that we never thought we'd have. And it breaks our heart when others are not living according to this wonderful book. It's a Christian's testimony. You know, a Christian who lives by faith and follows the Lord and sees the grace of God in their life, and they taste and see that God is good. The natural response of that is they want others to taste and see that God is good as well. They want their children, their grandchildren, their coworkers to see God's grace in their life. God, help us today to be faithful to Him in these days where many have decided that God's word is not important to them. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity we have to hear it and to live it.